We all know that, but did you know it's not illegal to carry a Bible in a public school? Did you know it's not illegal to pray in a public school? Did you know it's not illegal to preach in a public school? Do you know that? Do you know that your state constitution acknowledges Almighty God, the blessing of the Word of God, in your constitution here in the state of Ohio? Do you know that? Do you know that your Declaration of Independence says that we acknowledge God as the blessing of freedom and liberty? He gives us rights. So, if religion and politics cannot mix, why is it those documents back then said those things? Because we knew that religion and politics must mix, because when you vote on your conscience, right? If you vote pro-life, why are you voting pro-life? Because the Word says it's illegal to kill. It's wrong to kill, right? We vote for Warren because he says less taxes. God bless you. I don't want the government to have more of my money. I want to spend it because it's mine. You know, we say we need to be more benevolent. Well, give me my money back so that I can be. Right? Simple enough. It's a lot of red tape with that, I understand. But when we follow the Word of God, we'll understand what freedom truly is. Not just in spiritual matters, but listen, here's the challenge. I started issuing this challenge all over the place. If the gospel does not influence government, business, and everything in life, I quit. Because God influences not only our churches and our families, He must influence every sphere of society. So Paul did. Wasn't he a tent maker? You tell me he wasn't preaching about Jesus when he was out there? Of course he was. He ran his business ethically. He ran the churches ethically. He had to, because the gospel influences, right? This is my wife, Carrie Ann. Well, it's a picture of her. It's a lame joke. I keep saying it. I was hoping you guys would have laughed on that one. But she books all my tours. If it was not for this girl, I heard a saying from William Booth, the founder of Salvation Army. He said, behind every strong man of God is a strong woman of God, a praying strong woman of God. Every man, he said, should pray for a praying woman. I got that. I married up, y'all. Guys, do you ever look in the mirror and go, man, what does she see in me? And then you go, I better not say that out loud before she hears that, right? Seriously, our wives are gorgeous. My wife is the bomb. She takes care of three kids. You know what? She has epilepsy. She can't even drive. She takes care of three kids by herself when I'm out doing this stuff. She's phenomenal. Like, I complain when my toe hurts, right? She doesn't complain. She's the bomb. And then she books my tours because I forget everything. Where are we? I'm kidding. So, but you know why we fight? It's for these little guys. We fight for your kids. There's a slide I have later on, but I'm going to say it now. Thomas Paine once said, if there be trouble, let it be in my day so that my child may have peace. I wish we could preach that more, right? Because your kids, I always say this to kids, you're someone's kid, right? And I have kids. Am I not supposed to watch out for my brother? Am I not supposed to watch out for society? Am I not supposed to watch out for those? Am I not supposed to hold my government officials accountable? Am I not supposed to be involved in everything? Yes, it's my duty. Now, that doesn't mean you're called to politics. Doesn't mean that you're called to be a pastor. Not everybody's called to be a pastor. Who wants to be a pastor in this room? Didn't think so. I don't even want to be, right? It's hard enough just to be a minister, right? It is. But we're all called to do something different. All of us are called in any, but we have to get involved in what God has called us to, especially in matters of government, because it affects us. I heard a guy say one time, if you don't get involved in government, government will involve you eventually. And it has, hasn't it? It's kind of silenced a lot of us for fear. Nothing wrong with that. I get it. I understand. I was there too. I didn't know. I didn't understand. Now, the Bible says not to make men envious. I live about 10 minutes from there. So when it's wintertime... I want you guys to remember these photos. And if you want these slides, let me know. Now, I'm going to start off with Daniel Webster. Doesn't he look happy? Love Jesus! He said this. His cousin was Noah Webster. You guys ever heard of the Webster's Dictionary? His cousin wrote it. His cousin was Noah Webster. He's the father of American education. This is Daniel Webster. He said this. Hold on, my friends, to the Constitution and to the Republic for which it stands. Miracles do not cluster in what has happened once in 6,000 years. Notice what he said just before that. Miracles don't cluster. They don't happen every day, right? What has happened once in 6,000 years may not happen again. Hold on to the Constitution, for if the American Constitution should fail, there will be anarchy throughout the world. For all you veterans in here that have fought for me, if it wasn't for you, my parents would have came here in the 60s to give me a better life. Thank you. And I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that we have a nation for my kids and yours. Mark my words. Because it's hard. It's hard to do this. It's hard to be in Senate. It's hard to run a campaign. It's hard to be a dad. There's like no rule book. Why didn't they make one yet, right? There's no instruction manual how to be a pops or a mother, right? There's nothing like that. And so my kids are a joy to have, except don't we all ask this question, how can we bring our kids into this world today? Aren't we afraid, some of us? Let's be honest. It's hard, especially in an immoral situation, right? This is a preacher named Jonathan Mayhew. When John Adams was asked, 40 years after the Revolution, who were some of the most influential men who started the Revolution? You know who he named? Four preachers. He named Dr. Mayhew, Dr. Samuel Cooper, Reverend Charles Chauncey, and he named another. All preachers. He didn't name any of the founders. Because the gospel is what started the Revolution. Do you guys know that? We don't hear that in history books, but it was these men. Listen to this. He preached a sermon on Romans 13. Talks about the biblical view of government. This guy. This is just the preface. Now, keep in mind, these guys, when they would preach, they'd preach for 2 hours. Do you know your pastor said, I have three, so hang on tight. I'm kidding. I don't have 3 hours, okay? Kidding. I'm grabbing my coffee. But he did a sermon on Romans 13. This is, guys, if you don't know the blessing of coffee, you're missing something in your life. Artificial Holy Ghost, y'all. I'm lit because of this stuff. Tim Hortons, God bless that man. You know? I have a preacher up here, Charles Finney. He preached the sin on coffee. The sin of coffee? I didn't read that one. I didn't read that. But so listen to this preface. This is just the preface to his sermon. He said this, it is hope that but a few will think. The subject of this sermon, an improper one, to be discoursed in the pulpit under a notion that it's preaching politics instead of Christ. Isn't that what happens? Can't talk about politics in church, right? We've got to talk about Jesus. Jesus is politics, y'all. You ever notice the word politic? Poly in Latin is many, ticks are blood-sucking creatures, right? So, a joke. You can laugh. Politics, politics, politics. God is influenced in politics. He said this, instead of Christ. However, to remove all prejudice of the sort, I beg it may be remembered that all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. He said this. Why then should it not those parts of Scripture which relate to civil government be examined and explained from the desk as well as others? If the government is mentioned in the Word, it's in 1 Peter, it's in Romans 13, it's in Titus 3, it's in 1 Kings, it's in Deuteronomy, it's in Exodus, in every biblical character in this Bible, right here. Did you know that every biblical character in all 66 books confronted a tyrannical government? Moses, Noah, David, Paul, Christ, Malachi, all the prophets, they confronted tyrannical governments who have usurped authority over God. This book's chock full of it. Did you know that? I didn't know. That's why I'm asking you. I didn't know. Once I knew, I was like, oh, we got to talk about this. We got to mobilize the church. Do you know that churches outnumber schools in America at least 3-1? And look what they're teaching our kids. Do you know that at least 3/4, 75% of students, their first year of college, lose their faith in Jesus Christ? My question is this, not to offend, did they have it in the first place? Because if we can't defend our faith, do you have it? When you're married, you defend your wife, right? When you're married to Jesus, you defend Him too. We're supposed to be here for the defense of the gospel, the Bible says. We must preach this. We have to preach this. Now, some like me, I'm a preacher as well. I've been ordained since 2007. I go all over the country preaching the gospel. I love doing it. But if the gospel, again, doesn't influence, then I'm wasting my time, right? So, now, the Leaning Tower of Pisa, real quick. Did you know that the word Pisa in Latin means swamp ground? Why would you build that on swampland, right? Sounds like a government job. Sorry, Warren. Gosh, dude, I'm so sorry. I should have said that. Yes, I should have. That was funny. But think about this, right? Due to its poor foundation, at worst, that structure leans 16 feet from its original center. You imagine that? That thing's heavy, right? Now, at one point, they said we need to stabilize the structure, so they put 800 tons of lead on one side to make sure it wouldn't continue to fall over, right? But then in 1970, these engineers got this bright idea. Said, we got to stabilize this thing. So they took 20 years and $25 million. They corrected the problem 17.7 inches. Did anyone catch? What was wrong the whole time? The foundation. Except the Lord built a house, the labor remained that builder, right? It's a good analogy, right? The foundation was wrong the entire time. They put it on the wrong foundation, wrong ground, right? Now, our founders, what constitutes an American? Here's a question. What constitutes an American? What makes an American? Can anybody answer that? I love class participation. What constitutes an American? Does a Social Security number constitute an American? How about a driver's license? Passport? Birth certificate? Our founders didn't have any of that stuff. What constitutes an American? Right here. Their belief in the Lord. Watch. Now, everybody repeat this with me. Number one, this is the American view of law and government. There is a God. That's right. Our rights come from Him. And the purpose of civil government is to secure our God-given rights. Beautiful. You guys sound like canaries. When I was rehearsing this in a college here locally in Ohio, I asked the students all the time, where does this come from? And I usually get this response, the Bible. Which I find scriptures all the time to support my claim here. But the problem is, it's not right. It's actually in the Declaration of Independence. Because they talked about the very thing called the laws of nature and nature's God. I get a lot from atheists, but they weren't specific when they said the laws of nature and nature's God. Yes, they did. They were very specific about that. Besides, did you know that when they wrote the second paragraph of that, they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident. You know what that term self-evident means today in kid terms? Duh. We all know we're created equal. Barna Research did a study. They said the average person in the 1600s heard over 1,000 sermons in their lifetime. Benjamin Franklin said, you will rarely find an atheist here. So they knew God. They didn't have to preach about it. They didn't have to talk about it, right? They knew God gives me rights. And because they're being violated by a king, we're going to break off from England and we're going to institute this government that's going to be free. And we're going to be free in our consciences before God, under His law and His directive. That's what they wrote in the Declaration. We're going to go through that in a second. Now, William Blackstone. Look at his hair. Isn't that sweet? How many would wish for that mane when you're older, huh? Well, meet Elsa soon. Does anyone know William Blackstone? Some of you maybe do. Do you know he wrote something called the Commentaries on English Law? It was a four-volume work, and they outsold in America more than they did in England. Okay, he was a jurist in England, and our founders, for over 100 years, used his works in their court cases to determine what law was. Okay, so he was a very influential figure in America. Listen to this statement very carefully. It may be tough. He said, no enactment of man can be considered law unless it conforms to the law of God. Can we think of some laws today that have been enacted that don't conform to God's law? Yeah, tons, right? Yeah. Tons. Because Jesus Christ didn't tell Herod to feed the poor. He told the church to feed the poor. Jesus Christ didn't tell Herod to feed the needy or take care of the sick. He told you to take care of the sick and heal them. He didn't tell the government to raise their kids or the state. The state has never been pregnant, y'all. He told you to raise your kids. He told us to hold the morality. John Adams said that the church is the moral compass of society. What happens if that compass is broken? But Jesus said, if the blind lead the blind, they both end up in the... We can talk. Ditch. That's right. The ditch. We end up in the ditch if we're blind. Right? What's that saying? Even a blind squirrel gets a nut. How far and few between is that nut? We've got to be educated. We've got to illuminate our eyes. We've got to understand. He also said this, Mr. William Blackstone. He's one of my favorite historical characters. John Adams is my favorite. He's the most forgotten. He said this, man must necessarily be subject to the laws of his creator, God. This will of his maker is called the law of nature. This law of nature is, of course, superior to any other. Listen carefully. No human law. No human laws are of any validity of contrary to this. In other words, if law is made and it's against God's law, it cannot be law. Again, the founders wrote something in the Declaration called pretended legislation. What does pretend mean? Make believe. Doesn't exist, right? That's what they were doing at the time of England. Now, I know a lot of people tell me this too, right? And it's true. They say, well, geez, I can't wait till Jesus comes back because then we're all going to be from this and sorrow is going to be gone. Do you think the founders didn't preach that? Did you know, you guys, that the founders literally saw war on their steps? They were firing cannon, six-pounders, right in front of their steps. People were being shot and killed right in front of their steps. Because there's kids, I'll reserve some of this. But homes were being ransacked, looted, and burned right before their eyes. You think they weren't preaching, I hope Jesus comes back? Didn't come back then, did he? But you know what they fought for? Your kids. to give them a hope and a freedom in America. They gave them hope that we would perfect our government one day and that they would learn from our mistakes so that they could live free too. But what have we done to our children now? Right? Again, if there be trouble, let it be my day so that my child may have peace. What are we leaving to our kids today? A lot of people ask me this. They say, Mass, when did it start going wrong? My response, does it matter? It's past. What are your kids going to say about you in 100 years? That we've aborted 60 million babies since 1973? That we've allowed $20 trillion and skyrocketing in our government? That our public schools are literally telling our kids that God is not real, and if they believe that He's real, they'll give them an F and they'll fail? That they can't pray in a public school? Is that what we're going to leave our kids? Are we going to tell our kids that preachers were literally, they can't preach what they need to preach because they have a 501c3 for crying out loud? What are we going to tell our kids? Because on our tombstone, one day, there's going to be a dash that's in between the years that you lived and that you died. What is that dash going to represent? Did you know that in America, every 2 hours, a kid commits suicide? Did you know? And five times throughout the sermon today, someone's going to commit suicide in America. There is no excuse that they don't have hope. Because my Jesus came to give it to them. You know why I'm lit and passionate about this? Because someone else is going to die. And I'm not there. That's literally, I think about that all the time. All the time. What if it was my, God forbid, if it was my kid? And I know all of you, and he was going through something, and nobody said anything to him. What then? Folks, we are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ to give hope to the world. Amen. You have the answer in 66 books of what it takes to change government, society, family, and church. You have the answers. We have the answers in America. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, some of you think, man, I'm too old. I'm way past my years. Some of you got a lot of tread on your tires. Man, Moses didn't start his ministry till he was 80. We can all do something, right? You know how many kids, guys? I'm looking at some of the elders in the room. I was just in downtown Detroit on Wednesday, y'all. I spoke to 40 fatherless kids, all black. Fatherless kids. They come to this after-school program, right? And they sit through and they learn about Jesus. And she said, can you come and talk to me? You know, these kids have never had a dad or a grandma or a grandpa or an aunt or an uncle that visits them. Nobody cares. Right? Nobody visits them. But you can. You can be a friend to them. You can be a dad to them. God knows I have mentors. God knows I have people who looked up. Look, you guys might not think so, but these two dudes I look up to all the time. These two. They give me courage right here. Because they hear with their heart. They don't hear with their head. You know what? They might not know everything, but you know what they're going to fight for? You. That's a statesman, not a politician. That's a statesman. Praise God. That gives me hope. It gives me strength and courage. You know what? Nobody ever talks about the wives of these men that fought or that are in politics. They don't see the family life that goes on at home. They don't know what it's like to miss your kids. You know, I've been gone for a month. I'm not looking for a pity party here, but I'm just going to tell you. I've been gone for a month for my kids. I still won't be back for another 2 weeks. It's hard not to see your kids. Thank God for FaceTime, right? Thank God for technology. But it's still not the same. I'm not there, right? But you know what? It doesn't matter because my kids need to see that Daddy is doing everything he can to save America. That he's doing everything he can to lead them a nation, right? When they see courage, they follow. They don't follow titles. They can give a crap less if I run self-evident. They could care less if I'm a preacher. You know what they want to see? Daddy fought. What can I do? My oldest boy wants to be a preacher just like me. We study the Word together. My oldest kid. My middle kid, not so much. He wants to blow up cars. Right? But he'll get there. He's called to do something else. I recognize that. Right? We can all do something to influence our kids. And it's about them now. It's not about you. When I became a Christian at 21, my life was over. Over. I don't live anymore. Bible says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What happened? I wish we had like interlude music. Do you guys see what happened? Was it me? I am so sorry, you guys. This has never happened before. No, you know what I know? Is that when I start to get lit on something, and I know Satan loves to attack there to try to stop this stuff, but you know what? That's where I stand even firm, more firm. When this kind of stuff happens, I love it because I know it's the Lord. I know He wants you to hear something you probably don't think about, you don't know, you've never heard before, which, guys, to be honest with you, I never did either. Nobody taught me. Matter of fact, I grew up a Democrat. It's true. Dad's a pastor. He didn't care. He didn't tell me anything about anything, but he cared enough to teach me at least some ethics and morals, right? Guys, I don't know what happened here. It shut off. Okay, just give me 5 minutes. It'll be back up. So, back to the point, okay? We're going to talk about, too, when I was in Detroit, for some of you, because I'm going to take a little bit of time here. These kids, about 10 minutes into the slideshow, one of the kids, he was 18 years old. His name's Joshua. I'll never forget it. You know what he said? He goes, "Can I be honest with you, bro?" I said, "Yeah." He got up. He stood up very respectful, and he said, "Ain't nobody want to be here. Ain't nobody caring about what you say. You're telling me to be moral. You think it's going to change my situation?" And, dude, he went off. He went off. You know what he told me? He said this. He goes, "I ain't even lying to you, bro. I walked home from school yesterday. A cop followed me for 5 blocks. What are you going to tell me about that?" Right? He goes, "So what you're telling me is a bunch of mess. I don't even want to hear about it." I said, "Okay. So you don't care?" And he goes, "No." I said, "Then why are you talking?" Of course you care. If you didn't care, you wouldn't be here right now. That's the point. You know what? I said, "You ever think about running for mayor, kid?" He goes, "Shut up, man." I said, "Seriously. Because kids like you that have the problem and say that government doesn't listen to you, guess who ends up running for Senate? You. Guess who ends up running for mayor? You. You know who the first kid was that gave me a hug after an hour? Him. You know what he said? Can you come back? Yes. We'll be back in a few months. Because somebody believed in him. Another kid piped up. We were talking about the Ten Commandments. Right? And he says, "Why is it easier, sir, to lie than to tell the truth?" I said, "You ever think about becoming a lawyer?" Serious, because studying the law is good, right? Studying the letter of the law is awesome, but you need to understand the spirit of the law. That's what he just did. Nobody's ever believed in these kids. I did. I do. Another girl handed me a plate of food. You know what's so cool about this place? They cooked their own food there. It was just a plate of lasagna and lettuce. Feed these kids. She sat down. She sat down next to me, made sure I had water, food, all that stuff, because, like, I need it, right? So she sat so inviting and so warm. I said, "Sweetheart, you ever think about the hospitality industry? You could run a Hilton." I said, "Are you serious about leaving this place?" She said, "Yeah." She goes, "I was just asking, Lord, what's next for me?" I said, "You have a gift in your heart. People will come to Christ because of who you are, not because of what you preach. That's a gift, right?" That night, I went to someone's house, and he's the head of hospitality at a local hotel and casino. I said, "Would you hire this girl?" He said, "You really believe in her?" I said, "Yep. She's going to get hired here real soon." They need an opportunity too. Somebody needs to believe in our kids and you. Because I believe in every one of you. I don't condemn you. You're just like I was 14 years ago, some of you. Didn't know? How am I going to condemn you for that? All you need is someone to believe in you. And I do. And for all of you people that have been praying for America and us to get it as youth, your prayers are answered. I'm doing it. Jake McCauley's doing it. From Institute on the Constitution. Now we have pastors standing up like Pastor Greg Locke. Now we got really good ministers of the gospel standing because you've been praying. Thank you for being obedient. Because it's working. I will not let this nation fail. I can't. I mean, I literally die with, like, terrified if I do that. It's up now. Guys, I don't know what happened. Quit. Don't judge me. Here we go. I am so sorry, you guys. We can edit this out, right, Doug? I'm glad your pastor said I got 3 hours. Some of you are like, "No, I got things, I got prior commitments like football." Here we go. It's happening. This is so embarrassing. You guys ever go through this before? I bet not. Here we go. It's up now. There we go. Praise Jesus. All right. Now, back to the point. John Quincy Adams. You guys have heard of John Adams, right? Second president of the United States. This is John. What in the world? There we go. So, John Quincy Adams, at 13 years old, he was a secretary to the ambassador of Prussia. He was doing U.S. government work overseas at 13 years old. Did you know that? How many of us have a hard time getting our 13-year-olds to get up out of bed and do their bed? Without complaining. Right? He was being paid by our U.S. government to do work. He said this, in the Declaration of Independence, the laws of nature are announced and appealed to identical as the laws of nature's God. Okay? There was a God of the Bible they were talking about. I can go through. How many of you guys know Samuel Adams? How do we know Samuel Adams today? Come on. Shame on you. Kidding. Do you guys know he was a preacher? I took the Freedom Trail in Boston. And I might have told some of you the story. I was in Boston, first time I'd ever been there, right? And we did the Freedom Trail. And someone was leading. It was a girl who just graduated college. She was obviously not Christian. She was a liberal. She didn't like conservative values. She said that Witherspoon's church was like, you know, they persecuted and killed, slaughtered people in the name of Christianity. I mean, she was really against God and, you know, really one-sided. So we got to this guy's headstone and she goes, he was one of the greatest atheists to ever live. Got a question? No. I said, on his deathbed, did you know he said, I rely heavily on the merits of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins. That doesn't sound like an atheist to me. Right? You know what she told me? She said, well, his Christianity would have been considered atheism today. Now, it is funny because I laughed about it too, but then I thought about it when I was driving to my friend's house where I was staying. I thought, this is what she's leaving to other people. This is what she's teaching every time she does this trail. And that's all they're going to know because most people, let's be honest, don't we just read something and go, oh, okay, right? We don't really dig into it much unless it's scripture, which is what we're supposed to do, right? Same thing with this. He said this. Samuel Adams said, in the supposed state of nature, all men are equally bound by the laws of nature, or to speak more properly, the laws of the Creator, God. Okay? Now, I can go on and on and on. I forgot to switch that slide again, dude. Pursuit of happiness. Because did you know that your Ohio State Constitution says in the preamble? How many of you guys have read Ohio State's Constitution? Attaboy! Thank you. I was hoping your hand would have gone up. Glory. You know, says this, that we the people, the preamble, we the people of the state of Ohio, grateful to Almighty God for the blessing of freedom and liberty. Do you know that it says that? In your state constitution? Did you guys know that? I didn't until I started reading it. Do you know all 50 state constitutions acknowledge God as the giver of rights? It didn't say, we the people of the state of Ohio are grateful to the federal government for this property of land that we call Michigan. Nope. They didn't say, we the people of the state of Ohio are grateful to the light bulb for the power to believe in something. No. They believed in God. They understood that without God, we don't have rights, okay? What is the pursuit of happiness? You guys ever heard of that term before, the pursuit of happiness? I have a cousin who's a I'm talking fast, aren't I? It's the coffee. I have a cousin who's a homosexual, okay? Now, it's a prevalent topic, okay? We got to talk about it. Now, he told me once, he said, Matthew, you're a hypocrite because you preach on the pursuit of happiness and you won't let me be happy. You guys ever been stumped in an argument before? You know? He got me. And I said, Lord, how am I preaching this word if there's loose ends? Because there's no loose ends with God, right? God doesn't leave anything undone. His ways are perfect, the Bible says, right? So I went home and studied. I said, Lord, where does this phrase come from? Let me go through this real quick. It says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, right? We all went through this in kid terms. It means, duh, that all men are created equal. Notice very carefully, it doesn't say that we were born equal. Don't we hear that today? Well, they were born this way. They were born this way. No. It doesn't matter because God created us all. Right? So according to them, where does life begin? Creation. Not when they were born. That ends the abortion debate right there. You cannot find a state statute or a federal law that permits abortion to be legal in America. You won't find it. We have been lied to and lied to and lied to about this very issue. The first thing they wrote to be protected was what? Life. Because you can't have liberty in the pursuit of happiness or property without life. And the only way you can take life, we all know this in law, is through due process. Has a baby ever committed a crime? They haven't been given due process. They can't die for no reason. Think about this. If the government doesn't care about life when you're born, will it care when you're old? Just a question. It's just a question. And don't tell me, and don't think that's weird, because look at government's past. The one thing we don't learn from history, or the one thing we learn from history is we don't learn from history. Okay? Don't think governments can't usurp authority. What do you think the founders wrote? Of course they can usurp authority. It happens. You know why? Because man doesn't give up power very easily. Once he has it, he won't give it up. Right? It's very rare. It's hard. Now, the pursuit of happiness, William Blackstone, remember the dude with all the hair, he said this, the Creator has so intimately connected, so inseparably interwoven the laws of eternal justice with the happiness of each individual. What he's saying is, the only way that we can be happy as individuals is to obey the law of God. They actually got that phrase from John Locke. And John Locke talked about the human nature that outside of obedience to God's law cannot be happy. Right? Because holiness breeds happiness. I wish we'd preach that more in churches. I'm sure they do here. But we're preaching a lot of happiness today, but not a lot of holiness. But if we would preach holiness, it would produce happiness. Right? Now, George Washington, father of America, first American president, he said this in his farewell address. He said, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. Listen carefully. He said this, in vain would that man claim tribute to patriotism who should labor to subvert these great pillars of human happiness. What he just said was, you can't even call yourself an American patriot if you labor to subvert religion and morality, if you don't hold to it. Can you imagine if Warren said that publicly? He'd be crucified. But our founder said that. We've left off our duty, haven't we? We've left off where our rights come from. Now, check this out. I just preached here in July, Massachusetts, one of the bluest states in the Union. They don't really talk about God much there, right? Now, did you know that this is in the preamble of their Constitution? Watch this. The happiness of a people, this is dealing with happiness, and the good order and preservation of civil government essentially depend upon piety, religion, and morality, right? Well, listen close. And these cannot be generally diffused through a community, but by the institution of public worship of God. What that constitution is literally saying is, erect churches to worship God so that we can keep piety, religion, morality to keep us happy. Their state constitution is telling them to do that. Did you know that? Do you know you have something similar in your state constitution? Gives you the authority to do this? That's how God's real. Guys, when I found this out, I got lit. I wasn't like mad. I was like, man, they need to hear this, right? We need to know this stuff for our kids. Northwest Ordinance of 1787 says this in Article 3, religion, morality, and knowledge being necessary to good government and the happiness of mankind, schools and the means of education shall forever be encouraged. Where are they saying that religion and morality should be taught? That's awesome! You know, public schools aren't bad. It's what we've allowed them to become is bad. They're not bad. Founders wanted public education. Right? Did you know that they printed Bibles from Congress for schools? One of the first Bibles ever printed was for public schools. Did you know that up until 1955, in Dallas, Texas, you couldn't even graduate high school without graduating some sort of Bible class in public schools 60 years ago? Did you know that? Why is that hidden from the kids? Why? Why are stories about George Washington and how he defeated, went through Valley Forge, a spiritual story like that, why is that hid from kids? Why? Dare they believe in the Lord? He gave it to them. He gave them life, right? Where do rights come from? I'm going to go through these pretty quickly, okay? Let's go through the Amendment number 1. We just had Constitution Day yesterday, correct? And last week we had one of the greatest tragedies. It's funny because that tragedy is something we don't want to remember, but we can't forget. Does that make sense? We don't want to remember, but we can't forget. If anybody remembers anything, I remember some of my friends who were atheists that day. We all clutched together and started praying. It's nothing like that to get everybody unified. And now look at us today. Black lives, white lives, blue lives. Everybody's divided against each other. You know what, man? I'm going to say this boldly as I can. I am not a Hispanic American. I am an American. Okay? We need to get rid of the racial divide here in America. First with the church. We should be the leader on that. 1. 2, when I walk up to Warren and I say, hey, man, I'm a Mexican Christian. He doesn't tell me, hey, I'm a white Christian. Or he's an African Christian. No, we are brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, right? So when we're in America, we are brothers and sisters under one banner. The Bible says, when I came to Christ, I left off the former things of old. And I took on the new nature of Jesus. The same thing in America when we leave up our former law and we come and subscribe and ascribe to the laws of America. Why do you think we have immigration laws, dudes and dudettes? Right? Why do you think we have immigration laws? Why do you think they need to be here legally? Yes, I will say that from the pulpits. Yes, that's gotten me into trouble with people of my race. And I don't care because it's true. Why do you think we have law? Because it keeps us in order. That's the point. The purpose of government is to punish evil, not to punish good. What are they doing today? Quite the opposite. Yes. Now, amendment number one, Congress shall make no law. Don't you wish they'd have stopped there? Warren, I wouldn't even be up here. Wouldn't need to be to start a business. Right, JD? I mean, we wouldn't have to talk about this. Right? But listen to this. If religion was not important to the founders of America, why was it the first thing they wrote to be protected? Think about this. Couldn't they have written the Second Amendment first? Because without guns, you can't do anything, right? I mean, really, you can't fight for yourself if you don't have a gun. Right? Or they could have wrote the freedom of the press or the freedom of speech or anything like that first, but they wrote religion. Do you know why? Because without protecting God, we will not have any of the rest of the rights. They knew that. And the purpose of the Bill of Rights, here's a little shocker, the purpose of the Bill of Rights is so that government would never infringe on any case or reason against those rights. They would not make laws against these rights. Don't we see, did you know there's over 12,000 gun laws in the books right now? Did you know that? I'm not saying there shouldn't be regulations. I'm saying they should be local, not federal. Because that doesn't give them the authority to be a federal regulation. Right? What about church today? Isn't there a lot of regulation against church? You can't go into a public school and preach? I was just invited to a public school on Friday for Constitution Day. You know what the principal said? I've heard of this guy. I want to see a slideshow, his videos. I want to see what he's going to hand to the kids. And if he gets out of line, I reserve the right to kick him out. That's what she said. I reserve the right to boot him. I said, man, you think I was going to recruit him for ISIS or something? I just want to preach about the law and where it comes from, right? Guess who was the first person, literally, before God asked the teacher, first person to walk up and shake my hand. You know what she said to me, the principal? She said, that was so inspiring. She's never been told. She didn't know. I said, your state constitution, ma'am, allows and authorizes me to come in and preach. I can do this legally. There's nothing wrong with it. Problem is we don't fight. That teacher said, if you kick him out, you have my 30 days notice and I will take this to court. Amen. Amen. We need people to stand now because our kids are watching everything we do, right? And I hope this is encouraging some of you because, again, you guys encouraged me for even allowing me to be here, right? Now, because our rights come from God, can man take them away? Right? Let's go through the amendments real quick, or just one of them. What does the word all mean? Sorry. Duh, right? It's a duh question. But so since all legislative authority is given to a Congress, like it says here, does it leave room for the office of president to make law? What about the Supreme Court? What, haven't they been doing that? Yeah. I heard it now. Now we're getting lit. The problem is this. We don't talk about this word, impeachment. We don't like talking about that. Now, let me ask you this. For the sake of just the analogy, I won't say Pastor Dale's name. But if a pastor was in this church and he ran up a debt you guys could never pay back and he was immoral and didn't hold to the word of God, would he be your pastor very long? Why do we allow it to happen in Congress and Senate? Why do we allow it to happen with the president or the judicial power? Now, they say it's a lifetime appointment because it's true, but they say they can be impeached for bad behavior. So when they swear an oath on this wonderful thing we call a Bible, they say, I swear to uphold and defend the Constitution, right, against all enemies before and domestic, so help me God. If they break that oath, is that not a lie? Is a lie not bad behavior? Then they should be removed. Anybody that stands against the Constitution, according to our founders, is a traitor. It should be removed. We need to start talking about this, guys. The bottom line is this. Ecclesiastes 8:12 says this. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore evil is set in the hearts of men to do it. Because we will not punish evil, men continue to do it. Right? That's what's happening today. That's all. Right? All power is vested in a Congress. Let's talk about the judicial courts real quick. Article 3, Section 2. Remember, Article 3, Section 2. Article 3, Section 2. Real quick. The judicial power shall extend to cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution. Notice it says cases of law and equity, not cases of my rights. They can't touch those, right? One of the greatest arguments I hear today is if Hillary Clinton gets elected, she's going to elect Supreme Court justices that will overthrow the Constitution and they'll take away your guns. What happened to Congress making sure that they should not be appointed? Because that Congress can stop the appointees. We don't hear about that. The president, the office of president, I don't even care about that election anymore. You know what I care about? These guys. Because these are the ones we need to strengthen right now to stand against tyranny if it comes from that office. That's the whole purpose of checks and balances. Amen. We need these men to stand. Guys, I encourage you right now, put his name in your phone or on your notepad and pray. Because they need strength. It's not easy to stand in against status quo. Ask my wife, bro. We're darn proud of you. Darn proud. Takes courage to do what you're doing, right? We need to stand behind these men. And we need to stand in city elections. We need to talk about the sheriffs, the duty of the sheriff. You know how powerful the sheriff is in a city, in a county? He can stop federal law. He can do all these things if it's unconstitutional. That's the authority of the sheriff. We need good sheriffs. We need good city council. We need good school board members. We need good county officials, right? These are the elections we must focus on right now. Because even the president, if he gets out of line, we have the authority to say, nope. No, no, no. Imagine this, if 330 million people woke up and thought, there's only 535 of them. You guys ever watch The Bug's Life? Hopper! They find out there's less of us than them, right? Good analogy, but it's true. They represent us, and you know what their job is? Even if the constituents go evil, even if the constituents are unconstitutional and want something undone, his job is to say, I'm sorry, guys, but that's not constitutional. I can't do that. His job is just as equal to us holding his feet to the fire. His job is the same to the people. Get that? You're not supposed to vote because your people want it. You're supposed to vote because it's constitutional or unconstitutional. You're supposed to say no to it, right? Again, this is all stuff that we need to learn. Rufus King, aren't these guys lookers? Yeah. Look at your future, dog. I'm kidding. Rufus King, signer of the Constitution, said this, the judges must interpret the laws, not to be legislatures. Right? We don't talk about this no more. Thomas Jefferson said in a letter to Edward Livingston, he talked about the judicial courts. He said, one single logic will entitle you to the endless gratitude of society, that of restraining judges from usurping legislation. It's all over the place here, all over the place, right? Real quick, let's talk about the Word of God. That's what we're here for, right? Let's disseminate the Word. Romans 13. It's the first quote that I read this morning from that preacher. He talked about Romans 13. What is the purpose of government, right? Now listen closely. I get this a lot from pastors because they say, well, President Obama's in there and I don't agree with him, but it must be God because he ordained it. I completely, emphatically, 100% scripturally disagree. Here's the reason. Because it says this, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of who? Would God allow abortion? That's just one issue, right? And the powers that be are ordained of God, which means this. The power of Congress, president, judicial branch, these are allowed of God. They're ordained by God, not the man that's in the position. That's up to you and me, right? I'm going to show you why here in a second. Now, this is talking concerning to leaders in government. Watch this. Romans 13, 8. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. What if you're the president? I don't want to step on toes, but it's the truth. We need to talk about this. It's going to be a little heavy, okay? Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thomas Jefferson said to compel a man to furnish funds for ideas that he disbelieves and abhors and is sinful and tyrannical. Can you think of some things that your tax money goes to that's sinful and tyrannical in your eyes? Wouldn't it be great if we can get our money back to do what we're called to do before God, to advance the gospel the way that our founders intended it to be? The whole purpose of America was to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read their diaries. That's what Christopher Columbus sailed around the ocean for. He didn't come here to find a land. He came here to advance the gospel. He was actually supposed to go to India and he missed it completely. He ended up being in South America. He saw, you know what happened? Can I be blunt with the story? This is what he wrote in his diaries. He saw that there was another sect of religious people that were invading and attacking. They were doing it by force. You can guess the religion. And so he went over there to go preach. He missed it completely and ended up being in South America. His whole purpose was to advance the gospel. It was in his diaries. Okay. Now, let's go to how do we elect good principled men in office? Here's where we start having a little hope. I'm not going to go through all the slides because we don't have time because of that little fiasco I had before. Now, this is Chief Justice John Jay. First American Chief Justice, okay? He said this very, very succinctly. He said, "Providence, God, has given to our people, us, the choice of their rulers. And it is the duty as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." I got to ask a question. Did you guys know this stuff? I didn't. Right? And maybe I'm different. Maybe I'm nuts. And I always say I'm a fool for Jesus anyways, but I just think we need this in America again. How many of you guys would like it if this was preached in colleges and public schools? Right? Let's be honest. And we can do that, guys, if we're not afraid. Right? You don't have to do it. Invite. I'll do it. I don't have a reputation anymore. I'm. It's over. For me. Do you know I had a business before I started preaching? I used to detail cars. I was going to make a joke like a good Mexican. I was detailing cars. I'm making $5,000 a month by myself. I had three dealerships that would give me their cars. I would do stuff for promise. $5,000 a month. Holla! I was banked, man. I wasn't married. I was paying $45 every 2 weeks for chemicals, and I was paying $75 a month for the garage I was using. I was making money. And then I got saved. And then God said, "No more. I want you to go preach." First week I got saved, I was at the Brown County Fair with a soapbox telling people that Jesus loved them too. I don't remember what I said, but I remember that you need Jesus Christ. I was young, on fire, and stupid. I was like, "Man, if you don't get saved, you're going to hell." You know, I mean, I was like that kid. I still got the fire, just with more knowledge, right? My duty was to preach to them the love of Jesus that he gave to me. And I didn't want them to die, right? And I still have street preached. I still do those things because God saved my soul. Saved my soul, man. And a lot of people need it too, right? Can you imagine if Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the Supreme Court Justice, started the American Bible Society here now? Wouldn't that be great? She's getting old, y'all. She needs prayer. She needs Jesus, right? President Obama's daughters, they need Jesus. Y'all complain, man, but what if his daughters really got saved? And what if they came to their dad in Proverbs 6 and said, "Dad, the Bible says that he hates hands that shed innocent blood. I don't care who you are, man. If you're a dad, you listen to your kid." You do. Right? Imagine that. Just imagine what could happen. Because he saved me. Why couldn't he save me? He turned Pharaoh's heart 10 times, didn't he? He called Nebuchadnezzar my servant, didn't he? He can use a wicked king just as much as he can use a good king. He can, and he will, if we're willing to pray. If we're willing to submit to God and confront the evil that's going on in society. Because we can do it and we can win. Okay? Now, let's go to Daniel Webster real quick. He said this: "I apprehend no danger from a foreign foe." He said, "Our destruction, should it come at all, will be from another quarter." From another quarter. He said, "From the inattention of the people to the concerns of their government, from their carelessness and negligence. I must confess that I do apprehend some danger. I fear that they may place too implicit a confidence in their public servants." Didn't we do that? You know what's cool about being a Christian? We love and we trust. You know what's bad about being a Christian is we love and we trust. It's like our downfall, isn't it? I got to love that guy. Martin Luther King actually said once, he said, "I'm glad the Bible says love your enemies and not like them. It's a whole lot easier to love them." Right? We just trusted. We didn't see things coming, right? And all of a sudden, you and I were illuminated to certain things. We're like, "What the heck? What's going on?" Right? Isn't that your first initial response to something when you see something's wrong? What's going on? That's what happened. We just trusted. It's okay. We can get it back. We just got to fight. Like Daniel Webster said at the beginning, miracles do not cluster. If you're looking for the silver bullet, you're looking in the wrong place. I believe God is that faithful to let us eat the fruit of our waste so we won't return back to it. It's like when you burn the stove, right? The pain's still there. The scar is there. Why? So you remember not to touch the stove again like that. Same thing happening right now. God's going to let us understand that his ways are our ways, and they must be our ways, right? So don't look for the silver bullet. He said this. Here's the hope part. Here, we're going to start getting into hope. Make them intelligent and they will be vigilant. Remember when you got saved and you were like, "Man, I need Christ," and your sins were being exposed to you? You got Jesus. What did you do? You applied the remedy, right? "I need Jesus. I got saved. He set me free," right? Look at that second line. He says this. Make them intelligent. They will be vigilant. Give them the means of detecting the wrong and they will apply the remedy. Now, what's our duty before God? What's our duty? Obedience, right? One simple act. I told the story in the first service. I'm not going to get into it that much. But two young girls handed out a gospel tract to a receptionist in a town I lived in. They had no clue who I was. And the receptionist didn't even know who I was. The receptionist just got saved, and she was all excited. She said, "Are you guys Christians?" She said, "Yep, we're starting a ministry about 14 miles from here." She said, "But this was the only place that was open for us to stay." And so they said, the receptionist goes, "I know this man. His name's Massey Campos. It's my dad. He's got the same..." I'm Hispanic. I said, "Dad, why not like Pedro or something? Massey's Greek. Macedonio is my name." Weird. And I'm the third, right? Anyways, off topic. So she goes, "His name's Pastor Massey. You would love him. He's great. He's funny. He loves kids," right? They call my house, these two young girls, and they said, "Hey, is Massey there?" My dad picked up the phone. He said, "Hey, it's a young girl. It must be for you. It's actually for him," right? They didn't know that. I told my mom 2 days later, if God didn't show up in my life, I was going to kill myself. I had the plan ready. I showed her everything. I said, "Look, God isn't answering my prayer." And she would cry and cry. My mom still to this day prays for her kids. Last time I was there in April, she prayed from 10:30 in the morning till 4, praying for her boys. Because mom's prayers never go unheard. Mark my words. All you mothers that are praying, keep praying. God will answer. He did it to me. And I'm nobody. He'll do it for you too. Right? So anyways, back to the story. I went to church service that night and got saved. And God's done so much in my life. For the past 15 years, I was able to go into high schools, doing the band thing. Now I have my own ministry. I go overseas in Guatemala and I help kids at an orphanage. I mean, I have three little fatheads that I got to love and care for. My wife, who's bomb awesome, right? God can do that in a life if you allow Him to do it. All you have to do is obey. Because what if you do something for somebody that's going through something and it changes their life just like this? A gospel track. How did they know? A gospel tract turned into this. No, I mean, not this, but this, you know. I told my wife, I said, "I think I gained all the sympathy weight." I was like sympathetic, empathetic, and like pathetic. I just ate and ate and ate when she was pregnant. I'm like 100 pounds over when I got... Anyways, I'm going too far. But John Adams said this to Hubert Niles in 1818. He said this: "The revolution was effected before the war commenced. The revolution was in the minds and the hearts of the people, a change in their religious sentiments of their duties and obligations. This radical change in the principles, opinions, and sentiments and affections of the people was the real American Revolution. It had nothing to do with politics. It had everything to do with this. The people knew." Matter of fact, Alexis de Tocqueville was quoted by saying, "I tried to find the power in their industry and in their education and their business." He said, "You know where I found it? Was in the pulpits." He traveled from France and he wrote that. It was in the pulpits. He said, "I heard the thundering of the pulpits and freedom. That's where I found the power for all of this." We need that again in America, huh? I know Pastor Dale's doing it, and it's not easy for him to do it. You know what he has to worry about? For some people that criticize your pastor and say, "They should be talking about this." You know what? You manage 200 people. You manage a family. You go tell the board that we're going to start talking about this and let it be controversial. And if they kick you out and they fire you, you relocate your family. It's not easy. This kind of stuff is hard to talk about, right? It's not a popular message. It's not popular when people call you names. It's not popular when people say that you're lying about history. It's not popular, right? It's not popular to miss your kids. It stinks. It hurts. But I think about my kids in the future. Right? That's what you think about. We really are. I'm going to flip through these because we're kind of past time almost. Are you guys learning something today? Praise the Lord. Hope. How many of us need hope? Raise your hands. Hope. Your hope is in Jesus Christ and Him crucified, y'all. Amen. That is the only string of hope you got. One of our past presidents said, if you're losing all hope and you're at the end of your rope, he said, tie a knot and hang on. That's faith. Tie a knot and hang on. Because if God can't deliver you from this, then He ain't God. And He ain't God. And He is. Now, can anybody answer me this? You name one story in the Bible where God ever used a majority to win His battles. Never. Matter of fact, look what He did with David's army from 20,000 to what? 300? What about Gideon? How many people did he have? What about Elijah and the false prophets? 450, right? Or when He tells... Fat Jehoshaphat. You guys remember that song? What about when he told Jehoshaphat, you know what, we're going to send the singers, we're going to send the worshipers up to defeat the army, and he did. He didn't need them. He needs obedience. Guys, If my people, which are called by my name, that prayer is not a hope. It's not a Hail Mary pass. I hope he hears this and he heals our land. It was a prayer in dedication to the temple that Solomon dedicated. And God said this, if I was ever withhold the rain, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will heal their sin, right? I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. That's a promise. It's not a Hail Mary. He will do it. He will do it. Can I get an amen? Holy smokes, man. That is my Jesus, bro. When you were singing this morning, you're right. It's when we hold to the precepts of God that God will intervene on our behalf in America. That's when it'll happen. When we submit. When we're obedient to our call. How many of you guys, I'm not trying to be public about this, but how many of you guys are called to something and you haven't done yet and you're asking, Lord, gosh, Lord, I got to do this. How many are like that here? Be honest with me. I was like that for a long time, and then I obeyed, and then the power of God came, and then I understood. Then I understood. Someone said, are you going to be a pastor one day? No. I don't have the patience for that. Can you tell? I don't have the patience for that. But you know what I do have? A heart for His people. Every one of you that I know, every one of you, I pray for your, before God, ask my wife, I pray for your kids. I pray for your circumstance and situation. I know all of you by name, whom I know. All of you that have introduced, I know everything about you because I care. And we need more of that. You know what's cool? That dude is sitting in a chair right now. How many congressmen, you think Mr. Boehner would have came in here and sat down in church to hear this? Nope. You know why? I'm not judging him. It's his fruit. The Bible, let's get one thing straight. It's not judging. The Bible says you know a tree by its fruits. That's not judging. That's observing. Amen. If it's an orange tree, you can't call it an apple tree. Right? You'd be a fool. Right? Hope. This is John Adams. He said this, men must be ready. They must pride themselves and be happy to sacrifice their private pleasures, passions, and interests. Nay, even their private friendships and their dearest connections when they stand in competition with the rights of society. Jesus said, when you lose your life for my sake, you what? Right? The cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. And on that cross, when Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For I am His and He is mine. Right? What a song. I almost lost hope in 2013. I told my wife I'm done with this God stuff. I was there. She told me to shut up and get my prayer room before God. That's what she said. Get in your prayer room. When you can do what Jesus did, then you have a right to complain. Went back into prayer and I saw that first picture of a woman laying at her. Yeah. Then she showed me a picture of my kids, and she said, what are they going to fight for if you quit? What are they going to learn when Daddy quits? Right? It's going to happen when they want to fight, and they say, well, Dad gave up. Right? That woman in the middle, that black and white picture, she lost her son in 2011 in Iraq. 3 months after Osama bin Laden was killed. He's Navy SEAL Team 6. It's called Distortion 17. He lost 22 Navy SEALs that day. We've helped her ministry for a couple of years. We helped them book their stuff. She's a fantastic preacher. You know what her message is at the end? She says, I know what it's like to give up my only son, even to a nation that might hate him. You know why she stands? Because our hope is in God. Because God will intervene. And I'm promising you this. If He took 12 men to turn the world upside down, He can use this church to change this city. And we just preached at Tip City, and He'll use that church too, right? Every one of you has a story for the world. Do it. You're the hope, not man. You're the hope, okay? I believe in all of you. This is the last quote. John Adams said this. You know what it means when a preacher says he's almost done? Nothing. But I am done, actually. John Adams said this. Posterity, you will never know what it costs this present generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you make good use of it. For if you do not, I shall repent in heaven that I took half the pains to preserve it. It's hard to get through that one. Because, you know, my family's not from here, right? I'm first generation American. But my mom knows more about the Constitution than some of my friends do. You know? We can do something, y'all. The hope is you. And I'm going to show you right now. There's a video that we just released. on October 15th, it'll come out. And this, I get this question a lot. How can I tell my cousins or my pastor or whatever about this so that they can get involved? And what we did was we made a concise DVD. This wasn't the first one I wanted to make, but we did it because it was such a demand. And so we put all these answers in a DVD, and this is a two-minute trailer. I just want you to watch it. And, you know, we have a desk out there where people can pre-order them. We sold a ton of them. We just started doing this tour. So I hope you guys enjoy this. And then there's some more stuff we're going to talk about in a second. I'm reminded of a quote by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who once stated, "The ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that it leaves to its children." I just recently celebrated 10 years of marriage, and I see that I have 3 children that are growing up in America, and I've got to wonder to myself, what kind of a future are we leaving to our children? I get the greatest opportunity to travel all over the country, and some of the same questions and responses are, can Christians be involved in civil government?
But weren't the founding fathers deists?
My pastor doesn't want to talk about these
things. Does God talk about the government in the Bible?
Doesn't Romans 13 tell us to submit to all governing authorities?
Is it too late? Are we too far gone? What about my children?
Again, our children are growing up, and in the next 20 years, 30 years, they're going to be holding positions of power and spheres of influence. We need to teach them now what it means in our Declaration of Independence when it says that we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is our chance to show them and to give them something for their future generations, because we don't know when Jesus is coming back. But I'll say this, if He doesn't come back in our time, America needs to be preserved for our children.
Is there any hope?
The answer, yes. So that's the first one, and it's out there. If, like I said, there's a pre-order sheet out there if you guys want to get one, sweet. We also got a table full of stuff. Like a lot of the stuff I tell you is in a Constitution course out there. It's an accredited course. If you homeschool your kids, you can use it at a government civics credit or just to know, right? We all need to know what we're talking about. If you guys want these slides, and I'm sure a lot of people will ask for them, I have a card out there. Just email me, and I will email them to you for free. I don't have a copyright on this stuff. I don't care about that. I want you to learn it. I want you to tell your friends and your neighbors about it. That's what I want, right? Did everybody learn something today? God bless you guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. We appreciate that. Trust you have learned something. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." There's a song that we would sing. I'm not going to sing it today, but trust and obey. Our duty is to obey. He knows you're trusting Him. You show Him you're trusting Him when you obey. What's your response to what you heard today? What does God want you to do? And we have within the pew racks in front of you what we call communication cards. You've already had those referred to earlier that you would register your presence. But if God has called you to do something today, to get involved in some way, you may write that down. We'd encourage you to do that. If it's for pastors only, there's a little box to check that. I encourage everyone to do that. Another response we have is through our offering and giving. It's not just a routine. We mentioned there's going to be a love offering, and that'll be coming for Massey. If you appreciate the work he's doing and what he's continued doing in colleges, universities, public schools, churches, just designate a gift. You can use a pew envelope in front of you or somehow make it designated as a love offering for him. You designate your offering through the general fund admissions every week here. That allows us to continue as we're going to be having our mission emphasis in the next 2 weeks. It supports those missionaries. The gospel always calls for a response. We always want to make that response available to you if you want to trust Christ. Or maybe you have this week and you want to make it public. So in a moment, we're going to have some music. The offering is going to be received. And then following that, you're going to be asked to stand and sing. And when you do that, if you want some type of public response, you want to come forward for prayer or to talk to someone, that's your opportunity to do that. Let's continue.